This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, and we beseech Him to shower Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with compliments and salutations. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us. We ask Allah to allow us to benefit and benefit others from what He has taught us. We ask Allah to increase us in beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah to protect us from information that does not benefit, does not bring us closer to Allah's pleasure. As to what follows, we started the new chapter last week, which is Ta'amul al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'a dhawil hay'at, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dealings and his interactions with people of authority, people of position, status in their society, in their nation, in their system of living. And we went into details about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to deal with people appropriately, أنزلوا الناس منازلهم, to give people their due rights and put them in their places. Now, I don't mean that in the aggressive way, because somebody can use that same term and put him in his place. No, we don't mean it like that. We mean it, يعني, take it literally, not the figurative statement. To put people in their appropriate level and treat them as such. So if a person is a person of status or of authority within their circle, within their, you know, whatever they belong to, whatever group of people they belong to, whether it's a small group or at a national level, then treat them as such. And we saw many examples of the Prophet ﷺ doing that. طيب. That was a quick recap. We left off, وَمِن ذَلِكَ دَعْوَتُهُ لِمُلُوكِ الْأَرْضِ. We had talked about the Prophet ﷺ giving them da'wah, and we mentioned a few instances of that happening. So we also have the Prophet ﷺ giving da'wah to people that were in a position of kingship in other parts of the earth, not just where the Prophet ﷺ was. Rasulullah ﷺ was giving da'wah to, the last story that we left off was him giving da'wah to the chieftains of Quraysh, people of authority and influence and status in his area. But the Prophet did not restrict his da'wah just to those that were around him. He reached out to muluk, to kings and to people in authority in other parts of the globe. So let's look at some examples. لِأَنَّهُمْ إِذَا أَسْلَمُوا أَسْلَمَ قَوْمَهُمْ تَبَعًا لَهُمْ. And this is the same thing that we talked about last week, that the Prophet gave attention and special da'wah to people of influence. Why? Because they influence others. If they accept and recognize the truth of Islam, then those that are within their circle of influence will do so as well by extension. في أواخر السنة السادسة حين رجع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الحديبية كتب إلى الملوك يدعوهم إلى الإسلام. In the books of Seerah, we see that when the Prophet ﷺ returned from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which is towards the end of the sixth year, the Prophet ﷺ began to write letters to different kings and different rulers in other lands and civilizations, calling them to Islam. قال ابن هشام, the famous historian Ibn Hisham, who has a book of Seerah, book of biography of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, فَبَعَثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم رُسُلًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ وَكَتَبَ مَعَهُمْ كُتُبًا إِلَى الْمُلُوكِ يَدْعُوهُمْ فِيهَا إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فَبَعَثَ دِحْيَةَ بْنِ خَلِيفَةَ الْكَلْبِي إِلَى قَيْصَرْ مَلِكَ الرُّومِ وَبَعَثَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ حُذَافَةَ السَّهْمِي إِلَى كِسْرَى مَلِكِ فَارِسِ وَبَعَثَ عَمْرُو بْنُ أُمَيَّةَ إلى النجاشي ملك الحبشة وبعث حاطب بن أبي بلتعة إلى المقوقس ملك الإسكندرية. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Ibn Hisham says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent a messenger. So he had a letter written, and he would send that letter with a messenger. So it wasn't just a document, drop it on them and go. There was an actual messenger who was going to deliver this written message and also give a verbal and a living message as well. So he sent Dihya, who was one of the Sahaba, Dihya al-Kalbi, he sent him to the king of Ar-Rum, of the Byzantium Empire. Dihya is famous for something else as well. Anybody know? Anyone know? Yes. Jameel. Umar says the angel Jibra'il, when he came, when he would descend, sometimes he would come in the image of Dihya. Dihya al-Kalbi. Sometimes he would come in the image of a man. And when he did so, most often it was in the image of, it was resembling, looking like Dihya al-Kalbi. So this was one of the Sahaba. So he sent him to the king of the Byzantium, Ar-Rum Empire. وَبَعْثَ عَبْدُ ibn Hudhafa, another Sahabi, Abdullah, to Kisra, who is the Malik, who is the ruler of Faris, of Persia, the Persian Empire. These are the big empires at that time. وعمر بن أمية to النجاشي. النجاشي was the ruler of the Abyssinian civilization, Abyssinia, Habasha. And there is some discussion amongst the ulama, where is Abyssinia exactly in relation to modern day countries and borders? Sudan? Who said Sudan? Who said Sudan? Sudan? Ethiopia? What else? Somalia. Why are you laughing? You heard this before, huh? Inshallah. Akallah khair. So very often it's Ethiopia. Actually, one of my teachers, through his research, and he was a specialist in Sirah and Hadith, that he said that where Najashi was, the Najashi at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, was in present-day Somalia. Wallahu alam. Anyways, those countries are close to one another. And he sent Hatib, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, to Al-Muqawqis, who was the king of Al-Iskandariya, who was in present-day Alexandria, you know, which is in present-day Egypt. This companion, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, is also famous for another story that happened to him. But this one is too long, we can't get into it. But he was involved in a very strange situation that was actually treacherous, and some would consider it an act of treason. But the Prophet ﷺ forgave him because he was acting out of fear and out of concern for his relatives. So that's something interesting. Maybe we'll come across the story another time. وَفِي قِصَّةِ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ مَعَ هِرَقَلْ عَظِيمَ الرُّومِ قَالَ هِرَقَلْ لِأَبِي سُفْيَانَ إن يكن ما تقول فيه حقا فإنه نبي وقد كنت أعلم أنه خارج ولم أكن أظنه منكم ولو أني أعلم أني أخلص إليه لأحببت لقاءه ولو كنت عنده لغسلت عن قدميه ولا يبلغن ملكه ما تحت قدمي قال ثم دعا بكتاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقرأه فإذا فيه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى هرقل عظيم الروم سلام على من اتبع الهدى أما بعد فإني أدعوك بدعاية الإسلام أسلم تسلم وأسلم يؤتك الله أجرك مرتين وإن توليت فإن عليك إثم الأريسيين. This is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Ibn Abbas. When the letter reached Hiraql, who was the ruler of the Byzantine Empire, his title was Azim al-Rum, the great, magnificent one from this empire. Actually, when that letter came to him, and when Dihya al-Kalbi delivered this message, there were other people from Quraysh there at the same time. And they were actually Abu Sufyan and other business people and traders. Quraysh, the Meccans, they had this famous journey, رحلة الشتاء والصيف, as Allah talked about in Surah Quraysh. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. They have the journey of winter and summer. What is that journey? Well, in the winter time, they would go north to the area known as Asham, nowadays the Levant, which was under the control of the Byzantium Empire. And in the summertime, they the other way around. In the summer, they would go north. In the wintertime, they would go south to Al-Yemen, the civilization of Yemen. And Mecca is in the middle, in between these two huge civilizations. And Mecca does not have, its economy does not rely on agriculture, nor does it rely on any, ranching animals or agriculture, nor are they close to the ocean. They're a port. You know, they're not too far away, but what does Mecca rely upon? It's a kind of like a brokerage. It's a business point where people come and they can get the items from Asham and they can get the items from Al-Yemen. So those in Al-Yemen, if they want to purchase something, they don't have to go all the way to Asham. They have this caravan that Quraysh is profiting off of. And also Mecca and the Kaaba, people do pilgrimage. And so they come for pilgrimage and they get to do their shopping. Some things haven't changed. So that's how the Meccan society made their profit. So Abu Sufyan is there in the Byzantine Empire. He is there at the time when the messenger from the Prophet ﷺ is delivering this letter to the king of that empire. And his name was Hiraql. And actually, when he received this letter and he received this messenger, he said, "Gather me those people that came from Mecca. Aren't they from the same place where this man is from?" Yes. So he gathered and he knew Abu Sufyan. So he asked, he said, "The one who knows Muhammad, who knows this man best from amongst you, stand forward, come forward." And Abu Sufyan came forward, even though he was not Muslim yet, he was not a believer yet. And Hiraql was wise. He said, "Everybody else stand behind him where he can't see." Why? To ensure that Abu Sufyan says the truth. I'm going to ask you some questions and you answer them. And if he is lying, all you guys have to do is gesture. And I will know he's lying. And he can't see who's gesturing, so Abu Sufyan, from his, you know, even though he was a disbeliever, but they still had certain values. He says, "I'm not going to lie." And so he answered a series of questions that Hiraql asked him about to describe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Sufyan did not lie, and he said the truth. And he mentioned the most positive characteristics of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even those who hate him and disbelieved in him, they still mentioned his praiseworthy traits when asked. That shows you that there was no disagreement. The accusations that people brought upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afterwards, from people that never even met him to begin with, they are baseless. Because the very people that lived at his time, that were his arch enemies, they didn't lie about him. So you want to come hundreds of years later and then make false accusations about the Prophet ﷺ? It's not going to hold any weight. So when Abu Sufyan answered these questions, Hiraql said to him, "إِيَّكُنْ مَا تَقُولُ فِيهِ حَقًّا فَإِنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ." He said, "If what you're telling me about this man is true, then I have no doubt he is a prophet, he is a messenger." وَقَدْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ خَارِجٌ. And I knew that a messenger was going to emerge. It was only a matter of time. I knew this was going to happen. وَلَمْ أَكُنْ أَظُنُّهُ مِنْكُمْ. But I never thought he would come and be from amongst your people. Arab, Quraysh, Mecca. They were not people that were looked upon highly at that time. They were not a wealthy or prominent civilization. It wasn't like the Persians or the other empires. وَلَوْ أَنِّي أَعْلَمُ. He says, and if I know that I can get to him, if there was a way that I can get to him, you know, considering his status and his position, if I would get to him, I would love to meet him. And if I was in front of him, I would wash his feet. I would wash his feet. And it's only a matter of time before his authority will reach this land under my feet today. Who is saying this? This is the king of the Byzantine Empire at that time. Then he said, okay, let me see the letter. So it was given to him. And he opened it and he read, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Beginning with the name of Allah, the most merciful, the especially merciful and compassionate. From Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, to Hiraqil, Azim al-Rum. To Hiraqil, the great one of this Roman Empire. What do you notice about that? He mentioned his title. The Prophet ﷺ did not mention him by any other way than what his status and his title was. We can fact check that, inshallah. What does the letter say? فَإِنِّي أَدْعُوكَ He says, سَلَامٌ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَى Salam, safety and security for those who follow the guidance. And this is a section from a verse in the Quran. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَى In Surah Taha in the Quran. فَإِنِّي أَدْعُوكَ I am inviting you and calling you to the call of al-Islam, the religion which calls to the submission of Allah. Aslim, taslim. Submit and accept Islam, you will be safe and protected. وَأَسْلِمْ يُؤْتِكَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ مَرَّتَيْنَ Submit and accept Islam, Allah will give you your reward twice. What does it mean twice? You will have your reward in the Akhirah, and you will only increase in your status that you have now. وَإِن تَوَلَّيْتَ فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ إِثْمَ الْأَرِيسِينَ And if you reject and turn away, then you will also be responsible for those under you. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By the way, this is a part of a very long narration. Hiraqil did not end up accepting. Actually, he attempted to. But when he saw that the folks in his court and in his in his cabinet, if you will, and the bishops and cardinals and other people would not approve of this, and he felt that there might be some threat to his power and authority and wealth, and he said, no, I was just testing you. So he did not end up accepting or submitting. He unfortunately fell prey to the desires of this worldly life. But we get from this that the Prophet ﷺ, first of all, he designated for them letters. And he designated for them a messenger. He didn't send a letter to every single citizen of that empire. The Prophet ﷺ was strategic and he was wise and he recognized their authority, so he went straight to the person in the position of authority and leadership. This shows you that the Prophet ﷺ was strategic. And it shows you that the Prophet ﷺ was aware of who's in charge where. And it shows you that the Prophet ﷺ is trying to cast and spread this net of da'wah, of inviting people to Islam, as far and vast as he possibly can. And he's respecting these people in their authority. His letter was not kissing up to them. He didn't seek any of their wealth. The Prophet didn't try to be buddy-buddy with them, but he was not disrespectful. The Prophet ﷺ, he could have rubbed elbows and gotten in there, played the game on by their rules, but he didn't do that. The Prophet ﷺ dealt with these people, but he didn't play their games by their rules. The Prophet ﷺ was principled, and he was strategic, and he was wise, and he gave them da'wah, and he gave them their respect, and he recognized the status that their people gave them. But he did not succumb to their bribery or desiring for their wealth or their status, no. You become Muslim for your own benefit and the benefit of the people that are under your responsibility. And so it was very strategic and very wise. وَكَانَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ يَفْرَحُ بِإِسْلَامِ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ مِنْهُمْ. Now, if any person of authority did become Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be very happy. So we have a long narration. عن ابن شهاب الزهري أن أم حكيم بنت الحارث بن هشام كانت تحت عكرمة بن أبي جهل فأسلمت يوم الفتح وهرب زوجها عكرمة بن أبي جهل من الإسلام حتى قدم اليمن. ابن شهاب الزهري, who's one of the famous early predecessors, he narrates to us this lengthy narration that Umm Hakim, this Sahabiya, her name was Umm Hakim bint al Harith ibn Hisham. She was with Ikrima. Ikrima is the son of Abu Jahl, or that's at least his nickname. Abu Jahl was Amr ibn Hisham. And he was someone that was fierce in his opposition to the Prophet ﷺ and to Islam. She became Muslim Yawm al-Fath, on the day of the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ entered with thousands of Sahaba, and the entire region and area accepted the message of the Prophet ﷺ, she became Muslim as well. We mentioned it last week. Actually, that's the first thing we talked about last week when we talked about respecting Abu Sufyan. And Ikrimah fled. He ran away. He didn't become Muslim. He left Mecca and he went so far as Al-Yaman. فَارْتَحَلَتْ أُمُّ حَكِيمٍ حَتَّى قَدِمَتْ عَلَيْهِ بِالْيَمَنِ فَدَعَتْهُ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فأسلم وقدم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عام الفتح. So she followed him all the way to Yemen, and she called him to Islam, and so he accepted Islam, and then he returned back to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in that same year. فلما رآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وثب إليه فرحا وما عليه رداء حتى بايعه. Imam Malik narrates this in Al-Muwatta, and he mentions that when the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he hastened to him out of happiness and excitement, and he gave him bay'ah. قال الباجي, who's one of the Maliki scholars, explaining this, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَثَبَ إِلَيْهِ فَرَحًا وَمَا عَلَيْهِ رِدَاءٌ وَذَلِكَ مِنْ حِرْصِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى دُخُولِ النَّاسِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لَا سِيَّمَا مَنْ كَانَ مِنْ عُظَمَاءِ النَّاسِ وَأَعْيَانِهِمْ كَعِكْرِمَة فِي قَوْمِهِ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنْ سَادَاتِ بَنِي مَخْزُومٍ وَعُظَمَائِهِمْ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم hastened to go meet him, Ikrima. He was so excited the Prophet didn't even wear his outer garment. He rushed out to go meet him out of excitement. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ recognized that this is an individual who is a person of influence and a person of honor and respect in his community and in his culture and in his society, pre-Islam. And so now that he became Muslim, he should be granted that honor and that respect as well. And this individual, Ikrimah, was min sadat Bani Makhzum. He was of the most honorable and nobles of his tribe, Bani Makhzum, wa ulama'ihim, and of their great ones. Wa kadhalika fariha bi islami Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i. Hatim al-Ta'i is someone that was famous, and he was known for his karam, for his generosity. He was a nobleman in that civilization. When his son Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i became Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ was very happy. كان سيد قبيلة طي بعد موت أبيه. Because he assumed that status and that position after the death of his father. And so when he became Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ was very excited to meet him and to honor him. عن عدي بن حاتم رضي الله عنه قال ما من رجل من العرب كان أشد كراهية لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين سمع به مني. أما أنا فكنت فكنت شريفا وكنت نصرانيا وكنت أسير في قومي بالمربع. فكنت في نفسي على دين وكنت ملكا في قومي لما كان يصنع بي. فلما سمعت برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كرهته، فقلت لغلام كان لي عربي وكان راعيا لإبلي: لا أبا لك، أعدد لي من إبلي أجمالا سمانا فاحتسبها قريبا مني، فإذا سمعت بجيش لمحمد قد وطأ هذه البلاد فآذني. ففعل. So Adi ibn Abi Hatim says, there was no one from amongst the people of Al-Arab that hated the Prophet ﷺ more than me. He said, as for me, I was a nobleman and I was of the Christian faith. And he says, I used to be amongst my people taking a fourth of their profits and their assets and their wealth. And this is something that was done in al-Jahiliyyah, that the ruler would take a fourth of people's assets and he would take it as his own. كنت أسير في قومي بالمربع وكنت ملكا في قومي. I lived like a king amongst my people. فلما سمعت برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, when I heard about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I hated him right away, hatred. And he said, I had a young boy who was a servant for me, and I told him, he used to herd my camels, I told him, get me, pick out of my herd the fattest and the healthiest and the best of my animals and keep them here. And when you hear of the Prophet Muhammad coming with his army, then let me know. ثم إنه أتاني ذات غداة فقال يا عدي ما كنت صانعا إذ غشيتك خيل محمد فاصنعه الآن فإني قد رأيت رايات فسألت عنها فقالوا هذه جيوش محمد. So the servant came to him one day and he told him, listen, whatever you were planning to do, now is the time for you to do it. Because I saw a huge army and a cavalry and they have flags. And when I inquired and I asked, who does this belong to? They said, this is the army of Muhammad. So whatever you were planning and preparing for, now is your time. فَقُلْتُ So he said, I gathered my animals and my family. And I said to the servant, إِلْحَقْ بِأَهْلِ دِينِي مِنَ النَّصَارَى بِالشَّامِ. He said, go and catch up to my fellow, you know, brothers in my faith, from my religion, that are in the area of Al-Sham. وَخَلَّفْتُ بِنْتًا لِحَاتِمٍ فِي الْحَاضِرِ فَلَمَّا قَدِمْتُ الشَّامِ أَقَمْتُ بِهَا. So until he reached that area of Al-Sham, and he had some relative there, and he stayed there with that relative. وتخالفني خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فتصيب ابنة حاتم في من أصابت فقدم بها على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سبايا من طيء وقد بلغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هربي إلى الشام. So eventually the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had reached that place where he was and his قوم, طيء, his tribe, and they eventually seized control of that area, and some people fell into bondage, into servitude. And the Prophet heard how I escaped and fled to the area of Al-Sham. So the Prophet ﷺ came across some people from his family, Adi ibn Hatim, and he asked them, where did he go? They said he escaped, he fled. Farra, he fled away. And the Prophet ﷺ kept on doing this. So the Prophet ﷺ eventually released some of these people from the tribe of Adi ibn Abi Hatim, and he sent them as messengers to Al-Sham. When they arrived, Adi ibn Abi Hatim asked them what took place. They said that the Prophet ﷺ released us and gave us this clothing that we are wearing and gave us nafaqa, gave us that which we needed to spend and provisions until we came and we came to you. So Adi said, فَوَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَقَاعِدٌ فِي أَهْلِي. So Adi said, I'm going to stay here with my people. And he refused to come to the Prophet ﷺ. A lot of time passed. The narration is very long. I don't want to get into all the details because we'll get lost in it. Until he reached the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, much later. فَخَرَجْتُ حَتَّى أقدم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة فدخلت عليه وهو في مسجده فسلمت عليه فقال القوم هذا عدي بن حاتم. Eventually he came to Medina and he entered and he said السلام عليكم, and the people told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is عدي بن حاتم. وجئت بغير أمان ولا كتاب. And then he said, I came without any bodyguards, without any safety, without any guarantee or anything. I am here fully trusting in you. فلما دفعت إليه أخذ بيدي وقد كان قبل ذلك إني لأرجو أن يجعل الله يده في يدي فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فانطلق بي إلى بيته. So he said, I came forward and I sat in front of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, so the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم took my hand. And he said, I would have wished before that I would have had this opportunity, when he hated the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but now the tables have turned. And the Prophet ﷺ took his hand and he led him to his house. فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَعَامِدٌ بِي إِلَيْهِ إِذْ لَقِيَتْهُ امْرَأَةٌ ضَعِيفَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ فَاسْتَوْقَفَتْهُ فَوَقَفَ لَهَا طَوِيلًا تُكَلِّمُهُ فِي حَاجَتِهَا. As they're going to his house, Adi ibn Abi Hatim says, we're going to his house, an old, weak woman stopped the Prophet ﷺ in the middle of his path and pulled him aside and she starts talking to him. فَوَقَفَ طَوِيلًا. So he stood with her for a long time. And he has this person that came from afar. And so Adi is thinking like, what kind of man is this? فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي وَاللَّهِ مَا هَذَا بِمَلِكِ. I said to myself, I swear by Allah, this is not a king. This is not how kings behave. ثم مضى بي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى إذا دخل بي بيته تناول وسادة من أدم محشوة ليفا فقذفها إلي فقال اجلس على هذه. So he said, we came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's house and Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم grabbed a pillow. It was made of a thick, rough fiber and it was stuffed with leaves. And he gave it to me. He said, here, you can sit on this. فقلت بل أنت فاجلس عليها. فقال بل أنت. He said, no, you go sit on it. He said, no, you sit on it. فجلست عليها وجلس الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بالأرض. So I sat on this pillow. And what kind of a pillow is it? And the Prophet sat on the dirt, on the floor. فقلت في نفسي والله ما هذا بأمر ملك. I said to myself, this is no king. Just one thing after another that he's observing. And he's like, I have come across kings. This is not how they behave. فقال لي يا عدي بن حاتم أسلم تسلم. He said to me, O Adi, son of Hatim, submit, accept Islam, you will be safe and secure and protected. فقلت إني من أهل دين. So I said to him, I'm already part of another religion. قال يا عدي بن حاتم أسلم تسلم. The Prophet repeated again, O Adi ibn Abi Hatim, submit and accept Islam, you will be safe and protected. قال قلت إني من أهل دين. So again he said it, I already belong to another religion. قال أنا أعلم بدينك منك. The Prophet said, I know more about your religion than you do. فقلت أنت أعلم بديني مني. You know better about my religion than me. قال نعم. The Prophet said yes. ثم قال إيه يا عدي بن حاتم ألم تكو ركوسيا. He said, oh عدي, إيه عدي يعني oh عدي, weren't you from amongst this particular faction, particular strand of Christianity? فَقُلْتُ بَلَى. I said, yes, indeed. How did he know about this? قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تَكُنْ تَسِيرُ فِي قَوْمِكَ بِالْمِرْبَعِ. The Prophet said, didn't you used to go amongst your people and you would seize a quarter and a fourth of their wealth? This was something part of your religion, part of your, as the leader of the people, this was something that you had. قُلْتُ بَلَى. Yes, indeed. How did he know about this? قَالَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَحِلُّ لَكَ فِي دِينِكَ. The Prophet said, that was not permissible for you to do in your religion. Oof. He's telling him what about his own religion. That what he did was not permissible. قُلْتُ أَجَلْ وَاللَّهِ. He said, man, you are right. I swear by Allah. وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَجْهُلْ. He said, I knew he was a prophet. He knows he was not ignorant. قَالَ وَبَيْنَ أَنَا عِنْدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذْ أَتَاهُ رَجُلٌ فَشَكَى إِلَيْهِ الْفَاقَ ثُمَّ أَتَاهُ آخَرٌ فَشَكَى إِلَيْهِ قَطَعَ السَّبِيلِ ثم قال لعلك يا عدي إنما يمنعك من دخول في هذا الدين ما ترى من حاجتهم فوالله لا يشكن المال أن يفيض فيهم حتى لا يوجد من يأخذه. He says, while I was there visiting the Prophet, one man came. O Messenger of Allah, yes, what is your need? He complained to him about poverty. So the Prophet ﷺ saw to his needs, made sure that he was taken care of. Another man came, min qat'i sabil, he was robbed in his journey. The guy is nothing. Poverty. What's the common denominator? All of these people keep coming to the Prophet. I said, I'm complaining about poverty. So the Prophet turned to Adi and he said to him, oh Adi, perhaps the thing that is holding you back from accepting this religion is that you see all of these people suffering from poverty and you don't want to be poor. All these people that are following this religion, you keep seeing them, they're dead beat broke. You don't want to be dead beat broke. So he told him, فَوَاللَّهِ, I swear by Allah, it's only a matter of time before wealth will flow amongst these people until they won't know what to do with it. They will be looking for someone to give and there won't be anyone in need. Did that happen? In those same people, Arab, fast forward just a few decades. During the time of the Umayyad dynasty, when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was Khalifa, there was so much prosperity and justice and mercy throughout the Muslim empire that wealth would be collected for zakah and the distributors of zakah would be sent out, distribute the zakah to the needy, they would make their rounds and they would come back. Nobody needs it. As the Prophet ﷺ prophesied. وَلَعَلَّكَ إِنَّمَا يَمْنَعُكَ مِنْ دُخُولٍ فِيهِ مَا تَرَى مِنْ كَثَرَةِ عَدُوِّهِمْ وَقِلَّةِ عَدَدِهِمْ فَوَاللَّهِ لَيُشِكَنَّ أَنْ تَسْمَعَ بِالْمَرْأَةِ تَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْقَادِسِيَّةِ عَلَى بَعِيرِهَا حَتَّى تَزُورَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ لَا تَخَافْ. He said, and perhaps what's holding you back from accepting this religion is that you see that there are a lot of enemies to the believers, to the Muslim community. There's a lot of other tribes and factions that don't like them. And their numbers are so small. They seem like a weak community. Small in number and lots of enemies. Not a good situation to be in. He says, I swear by Allah, it's only a matter of time before safety and security will come that a woman will travel from Al-Qadisiyah to this masjid here and she will not be in a state of fear. Meaning that's how much security and safety will come upon this community. And that is something that did happen just a few small decades after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال ولعلك إنما يمنعك من دخول فيه أنك ترى أن الملك والسلطان في غيرهم وأيم الله لا يشكن أن تسمع بالقصور البيض من أرض بابل قد فتحت عليهم. He said, perhaps what's holding you from accepting this religion is you see that there are no kings and emperors amongst this community of Muslims. All the other communities have muluk, have kings and emperors. But you look at our community, you don't see any kings or emperors. He saw the Prophet ﷺ sitting on the dirt. He said, I swear by Allah, it's only a matter of time before you will hear of the white palaces and castles min ardi Babil, in the civilization of Babil, will be opened up and will come into the possession of the Muslim community. And that is something that happened just a few short decades after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَالَ فَأَسْلَمْتُ فَرَأَيْتُ وَجْهَهُ اسْتَبْشَرُ. He said, so I accepted Islam. Adi ibn Hatim. He says, and I saw his face illuminated. So happy and excited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was for me to become Muslim. قَالَ Adi said, فرأيت الضعينة ترتحل من الحيرة حتى تطوف بالكعبة لا تخاف إلا الله وكنت في من افتتح كنوز كسرى بن هرمز ولئن طالت بكم حياة لترون ما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم وأيم الله لتكونن الثالثة ليفيضن المال حتى لا يوجد من يأخذه. So he said, Adi says, he is the one giving this narration later. He says, I saw that weak woman traveling far distance until she came to the Kaaba and made tawaf, traveling all alone, not afraid of anyone robbing her or attacking her. The region was enveloped in safety and security. And he says, and it was me. I was part of the army that opened up the Persian Empire and inherited all of this wealth from the Persian Empire, and it became part of the Muslim community. I witnessed that with my own eyes. And he said, and I swear by Allah, if you guys, the people he's talking to, live long enough, you will see the third one, the third promise of Abu al-Qasim, which was his nickname, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come true. That you will see wealth spread throughout the community until they can't find someone needy to give it to. And did that happen? It happened. Just a couple of generations after the generation of Adi ibn Abi Hatim of the Sahaba. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is recorded in the books of Sirah Nabawiyyah ibn Hisham. Ibn Kathir mentions it as well. And there are many other narrations that Tabarani mentions it. And Musnad Imam Ahmad al-Haythami records it in his book Majma' al-Zawa'id. And the scholars have commented on it extensively. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him respect, honored him, welcomed him, gave him the status that he deserved. The man came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him his pillow, brought him into his house. Adi ibn Abi Hatim, he called him by his name and recognized the legacy of his father. And eventually this is what opened up the hearts, and these individuals came to Islam, and many people followed them as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most gentle, the most wise, and the most appropriate and fair in his dealings with others. He gave everyone their due right, alayhi salatu wasalam. I think we'll stop there for today. And we'll mention a few other narrations next week, inshallah ta'ala, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam being a good listener to these individuals. We'll mention some verses from the Qur'an, from Surah Fussilat, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam had a dialogue. I don't want to call it debate, but a dialogue with someone who was a chieftain of his place. We will see how of his people. We'll see how the Prophet ﷺ honored and welcomed them. We'll see examples of how the Prophet ﷺ forgave and overlooked some of their shortcomings. We'll see how the Prophet ﷺ had meetings and appointments with them. We'll see how the Prophet ﷺ recognized their positive attributes, etc. We'll see many narrations and examples of the Prophet ﷺ dealing with people of authority and status. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and inspire us to have the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautify us with his character alayhi salatu wa sallam and unite us with him in the highest levels of Jannah. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wallahu a'lam. Any questions or... thoughts or ideas. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم.